This week's sermon comes from Psalm 37. Something that I think will be helpful for many of you. Listen to these words. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. And then I'm going to skip down and read the last two verses of the psalm. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Going down to verse 39. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them, because they take refuge in Him. I would say all you had to do was look at the newspaper and you know that this world is chaos. But I also realize that the majority of our people in society nowadays don't get a newspaper. But I do want to say this as an aside. A newspaper is a great prayer tool. A newspaper is a great prayer tool. If you gather all your news from the internet or from TV, it's still a great prayer tool, because it tells you of places that need to be prayed for. It tells you of situations to lift up to God. It's going on 3 years now for the Ukraine war. We still need to be praying for them. We still need to be praying for the things that are happening in the Middle East, on both sides. We need to be praying for God's compassion to come into people's hearts, for people to express love to one another, not hatred and violence. The news is a great prayer tool. I don't know if you've ever considered that. It's to just sit with the news and pray that God's will would be done, that people would hear God's wisdom, that people would know how to do things the way God's hoping people will do. But with all that in mind, a popular theological question: why do the wicked prosper? Guess what? I don't have an answer for you. Why do the wicked prosper? Why do they gain things and gain power? Why do they rule over others? I don't have an answer. It should be a matter of prayer for all of us. God, bring them to a place where they come to understand you and your wisdom and your insight. It's a matter of prayer. It's not a matter of setting myself against them to fight them. It should be a matter of prayer for Christians. The unfortunate thing is there is no real answer to this question. Why do they prosper? Why do they have more than we do? I can tell you this. Material blessings are not a sign of God's favor. Material blessings are not a sign of God's favor. Sometimes we kind of think that. Well, those people have been blessed with riches. That must be God's favor. No. Scripture does not teach that. I know that there are some who preach that. It's called the gospel of prosperity. It's not scriptural. There is nothing that says if you follow God accurately, rightly, and believe in God and live the orderly life that God asks you to live, that you will be materially blessed. No. No. That is not scripture. So when we look at these wicked people, there are some that elevate the wicked people and say, look at how they have prospered. They must be blessed by God. No. And you, as well as I, can go throughout all of human history and find people that were incredibly blessed, that were not believers in God, did not live the way that God wanted them to live, oppressed people, ran people off, started wars. Oh, but they were materially rich. They must have been blessed by God. No, that is not scripture. Now, David is the writer of this psalm, is what we're told. And David says the wicked will wither and die away. The wicked will wither and die away. Listen to these words again. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Now, I know your question might be now, when is soon going to happen? I don't have an answer for that question either. Scripture says, we don't know when the Lord is coming back. And I can honestly tell you this, anyone who tells you they know when the Lord is coming back is a false prophet. That's what Scripture says. Because Jesus said, even I don't know when the Father is going to bring that about. Even I don't know that. Will it be recognizable? Yes, it will be recognizable. The Gospels speak about that. People as far as from the east to the west will see it when it happens. So Scripture tells you, if somebody tells you it's already happened, don't believe them. We don't know when this soon is going to happen. But David assures us, and I take this as a promise from God, that the wicked will wither. And the wicked will fade away one day. Some have within our time. Some still exist. Some always will until Jesus comes back again. Scripture tells me that. There will always be some. But David tells us they will wither away. They will go away. Now, probably the most important thing that we need to hear from this scripture is a very simple little phrase that all of us wish we could do. And it says it three times in the passage that I read. Do not fret. Do not spend your time fretting about the wicked. Do not fret. How many of you know how to fret really well? Go ahead, be honest. I'm going to be honest. I know how to do it. I know how to fret about things that can never happen. Go ahead, laugh at me. It's okay. I can fret about things that will never, ever, ever happen. Okay? My nanny taught me how to do that well. That was one of the things I got from her. I saw a lady the other day walking into one of the stores that reminded me of my nanny. And it just flooded back to me so many memories. Small little petite woman, dressed in sweat clothes, with a beanie on. I know a lot of you call it a toboggan, but where I grew up, she wore a beanie. She didn't wear a sled on top of her head. She wore a beanie. And the thing that I missed was that Deanne was still sitting in the car while I went into the store, and it was a really, really windy day. And she said when the lady came out the store, came around the corner of the store, the wind practically blew her away. She had to grab a hold of the trash can that was right there and then reach and grab her car. That was my nanny. Small little petite woman. She taught me how to worry about things that could never happen. She was afraid to answer the telephone during a thunderstorm because the telephone line might get struck by lightning, come through the phone, and kill her. Now, on the other side of the coin, during that day and age, there was no such thing as an answering machine for a normal house. She couldn't let the telephone just ring because it might be an important phone call that she would miss if she didn't answer it. Imagine that dilemma. She fretted that she was missing an important phone call. She fretted if she answered it, she would die. And then she would pick it up and find out it was my brother or I going, "Nanny, is it thundering and lightning at your house? Because it is at ours." We only live 3 miles from them. To which my brother or I would hear the phone slam down. But David says, do not fret. The first time he says it, he said, do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious for those who do wrong. And then he says, do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out wicked schemes. And then he says in verse 8, do not fret. It only leads to evil. Fretting is a pathway to evil, David says. If nothing else, we should hear that, shouldn't we? It's a pathway to evil, one, because we're not trusting on God now. We're trying to figure a situation out on our own and control a situation on our own when many of those situations are situations we cannot control. So, i.e., it's wasted energy. It is wasted energy to fret. It's spent for nothing. It doesn't bring about what you were trying to bring about, except for when Nanny chases you out of climbing the tree. That was another thing. We were not allowed to climb a single tree in her yard. because we might fall out and break something. And instead, my brother sits in a lawn chair and falls over sideways and breaks his arm. I'm surprised she didn't ban all lawn chairs. Fretting leads to evil, leads to believing that we can do something about what we're fretting about. Yes, sometimes we can make choices, but can we change what wicked people do on the world stage by fretting about them? Anybody got that power? Because if you do, I want to talk to you. We can't change that, can we? Deanne and I have been talking about this lately. We have a sphere of influence around us. And it's really not as big as I think it is sometimes. And I can influence the people that I'm close to, the people that I live around, the people that I meet. But the people walking the streets of the Ukraine, I can only influence them with my prayers right now. My fretting for them won't influence what's going on, will it? Paul has this great passage in the book of Philippians where he says, do not, Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, bring your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds until the day of Christ Jesus. In case you're not aware, Paul writes that while he's in jail, probably chained to two soldiers, Roman soldiers. And he writes those words in Philippians chapter 4. I believe it's verses 6 and 7. And then you step back to verse 4 is the most incredible words that anybody in prison chained to two soldiers could write. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Paul writes that while he's chained up, locked away. Did you ever consider that? And David says, do not fret. Don't worry about the wicked. God's going to take care of the wicked. I don't have to. Praise God. Thank you, God, that I don't have to. One, because I probably wouldn't do it in the right way. Although I know that there are people in this world that believe they know what is right that needs to be done to the wicked folks. Instead, what does David say? He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Instead of fretting, what are we supposed to do? Bring our request to God. Instead of fretting, what are we supposed to do? Trust in God. Instead of fretting, what are we supposed to do? Let God do God's job. Don't try to do God's job for God. Let God do it. Trust that God's going to take care of you. And it also says, and this is a great delight to me, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. That's at the same time that the wicked are doing what the wicked are doing. It doesn't say the wicked are gone yet. Enjoy living in the land. Excitement, joy, recognize the blessings that God brings you. I mean, that's, I don't know about you, but I'm learning more and more about the fact that I do not have unlimited energy. Anybody have unlimited energy in here? Go ahead, let us know, because all of us want to sit right next to you if you have unlimited energy. Because we're hoping some of it will just transfer. I've especially found out that here lately that my body doesn't have unlimited energy for doing the things I want to do or the things that I need to do. I know some of you will encourage me afterwards. Wait till you get older.
No.
Those are, hey, have you ever thought about how encouraging those words must be to somebody that you tell it to? Those are not encouraging words. And Scripture says we're supposed to speak encouraging words to one another, doesn't it? My body physically is breaking down. It cannot do some of the things that I want to do. There are limitations. I only have so much energy. If I use all my energy for fretting, how much energy do I have for living for God? Did you notice I said all? If I use some of my energy for fretting, how much do I have for living for God? Less than I could have, correct? If I use no energy for fretting, how much energy do I have now for living for God? I have all. You ever tried to drive down two roads at the same time? Have you ever tried to walk two paths in the woods at the same time? Can you do it? Then why are we doing it? Why are we spending energy to fret, to be anxious, to worry? Why? When it's wasted energy that could have been used for living for God. Why? Why do we continue to do that to ourselves? I had the excuse. My nanny taught me how to do it. Does that mean I need to continue to do it because she taught me how to do it? I need to recognize the fact that she taught me something I really don't need to do. And I need to stop doing it. And it has caused me great problems in my life at times. There was a point in time that I thought I was going to have to drop out of ministry because I fretted too much. There was a point in time I thought I was going to lose my wife and my kids because I fretted too much. It leads to evil. It leads to a disastrous path. And David gives us what to do instead of. Can you get from here, fretting, to here, living fully for God in one day? Tell me honestly, come on, can you do it in one day? Can you do it a little piece at a time? When you recognize that you're fretting, as Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, when you recognize that you're fretting, that's the time to stop and pray. And put your trust in God. and move from this place to this place. If it happens 60 times an hour, 60 times an hour, you should be pausing to pray and move from here to here. Anytime it happens. You move from, God, I've just recognized the fact that I'm fretting about something. I give it to you, and I ask you to take care of it. And I ask you to manage it while I walk over here and walk for you. Isn't that comforting and reassuring? I can let go of it. I don't have to fret about it. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about the wicked people of the world, because what does Scripture tell me? They're like grass and they soon will wither. They're like green plants. They will soon die away. How about if I let God take care of what God can do? And I take care of what I can do by focusing on living for God. Do you think that would make a difference in our world? I think it can make a difference in our town if everybody in this room lived that way this week. Every time you recognize that you fret this week or worried or you're anxious about something, turn it into a prayer and walk away from it. Trust God and live for God. Folks, all of us only have so much energy. And if we're using that energy for fretting and being anxious and worrying, then we don't have the energy to live for God, because we've used it up already. Is your life about fretting over the wicked or living God's ways? Is your life about fretting or living God's ways? Because you might come to me and go, well, I don't fret over wicked people, but I fret over these things. Okay, yeah, David says do that. No. Is your life about fretting? Or is it about living for God? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you because we need you. The truth is, I can allow worry and fret to consume me and overwhelm me. And I'll have energy for doing nothing. And I'll have a depressed spirit. And I won't be able to live in the safe pastures that you have given us. And I won't find the joy and the blessing that you're bringing to me. So, Lord, help us this week to be very conscious and to recognize when we fret, that we might turn it into our prayers, that we might commit it to you, and that we might turn our focus fully into living for you, to help other people come to know the blessings of living in your kingdom and having Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.